Brett Hollander back with you here on WBAL News Radio 1090. Bobby Sabolhaus, a Hollywood producer, is in studio with us, along with a Hollywood director, Sheldon Candace. And we're getting back to kind of the challenges of a picture like this, ESPN 30 for 30, that will be made about Dunbar basketball. And again, you look at some of the great 30 for 30s. Oh, by the way, your favorites, both of you, just a couple, rattle off a couple that really struck either one of you.
I mean, definitely for me, I can route really quickly. The two Escobars, Brothers in Exile.
I like the Brothers in Exile a lot.
Yeah, I really like Kevin Conley's too, Big Shot.
Big Shot.
Yeah,
that is in my top three.
Yeah, Playing for the Mob, I thought was really good.
That one struck a special chord for me, being a huge Goodfellas fan. Yeah. And I met Henry Hill once, actually, doing radio on another station. He came in studio. If you're a movie fan and a Goodfellas fan, that was one of the more bizarre and kind of cool experiences in my life.
And I really love the one that Kid Stays in the Picture director made on O.J. Simpson and Arnold Palmer, that one day in sports.
That's one of Jay's favorites. I don't love that one as much, but I do love the Kid Stays in the Picture. That's one of my favorite docs of all time.
What about you? I'd say the Best That Never Was. I would say, Benji, about the kid, about the star basketball player from Chicago. Saying what he said, I love the two Escobars as well. Even if you're not a sports fan, I think the two Escobars is something that was so engaging.
Yeah.
Definitely one of my favorites for sure.
And I feel like the best 30 for 30s are the ones where sports is just a way into a larger story.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And that's what we're aiming for here, you know?
Totally. I completely agree with you. And again, the kind of challenges you face, both of you kind of chime in here, are what? If you're doing something, one of the simpler stories, again, like the Red Sox comeback, I think about that, 30 for 30. It's entertaining. It's good. It's Bill Simmons, talking for a while and some other guys that were easy to find, some like Dennis Leary types, and that's fun. But that's a story, A, we know very well, and B, it's recent enough and modern enough for everything to be very accessible. For you guys, how challenging is it, what you're trying to do, a high school basketball team from 30 years ago?
Yeah, I'll start. I think trying to find archives, game footage, not only highlights, because we've found some highlights from some of the local affiliates, but I think the challenge is, we're not going to use a lot of this story is about a high school basketball team. We're not going to really be telling the story about them in college. We're not going to be telling about their story as four of them as professional basketball players. So it's finding game footage. It's finding not only highlights, but finding that game footage, finding the game. They played the triple overtime game. They played against Calvert Hall in 81, the Harlem Classic. They played up in New York, in 81, 82, the city championship game. They played against Lake Clifton, the Beltway Classic. They played against Dematha when they beat Morgan Wooten's team. It's, and that's, another reason, I think it's important to come on shows like yours and say, hey, Baltimore, you're passionate sports fans. You love your teams. You love your Orioles. You love your Ravens. You love your Colts. And you loved your Dunbar Poets, and you still do. And so, we want to kind of put it out there to the people of Baltimore and say, hey, go down and, dig out tapes in your basement if you have them. We're at any of these games. And find tapes. I think through doing this process and speaking to people, I think the more people we speak to about it that were around then, we may get lucky. But that's one of the big challenges.
Yeah, and it's dunbarfilm@gmail.com.
Yeah, get that out there. Please get that out there.
So everybody, please, Baltimore City, if you're listening, as you're watching March Madness, as it's about to go down, please, if anybody remembers this team from the 1980s, if your mama, if your daddy's uncle went to the games, we need footage. It's a huge, huge part of telling this story. So that's dunbarfilm@gmail.com.
And for you guys, you're home. You're here in Baltimore now, your hometowns, but you guys are going back to the West Coast, I'm sure, pretty soon. I'm sure you're setting up interviews and doing a lot of your hard legwork right now. But take me through a 9-to-5 kind of situation. You wake up, you're in Los Angeles, and you're putting this project together. What are you doing out west right now to make this thing go?
Every day I think it's a different challenge. I think one of the responsibilities I've taken on is contacting the players.
And how hard is that to do?
It's a little difficult. I think it's saying to these guys, listen, we want to make your story into the best possible documentary 30 for 30 we can. And without you, it just doesn't work. You know, there's this team was a whole, and so we don't want to miss any parts. So, you know, it's me just going out and calling up, you know, obviously the Muggsies and the Reggie Williams and the David Wingates, and some of the, even the players that weren't on the 81 to 83 team, guys like Ernie Graham, guys like Skip Wise, who really is probably considered widely the greatest high school basketball to ever come out of Baltimore.
And, wow.
And to help them tell the story as well, as Dunbar as a whole. So, yeah, I mean, that's part of it. And it's just, you know, speaking to Sheldon and talking through him, you know, about things creatively, you know, talking about questions. Hey, what kind of questions are we going to talk to the players about, you know, to really craft the best narrative possible? Yeah.
Where are you in this process right now?
Well, you know, we're really, really fortunate. You know, we roll cameras on Saturday to start the film.
Wow.
And, you know, and I got to tell you, I mean, in terms of my answer to that, you know, a big part of my job, you know, and being fortunate enough to tell the story is once again, really getting to, you know, getting to what is this really about? And really what it's about is it's about a broken athlete who was Bob Wade at the time, who literally his professional career in the NFL was ended by an injury. And, you know, he's from East Baltimore. And, you know, he was the pride of the city as an amateur athlete. And so it's now him returning to the city and taking over for the legendary coach, Sugar Cane, and filling Sugar Cane's big shoes and basically taking a group of neighborhood boys and holding them accountable, putting bricks in their hands and saying, you know what, this is going to make you the best and well-prepared team in the fourth quarter. And I accept nothing but greatness from you.
That's amazing stuff.
That's why Tasha was a director.
Yeah, that's good writing. Might want to get that one on paper.
Exactly.
Looking at this team, in your research in this project, do you think this is one of, if not the greatest high school basketball team ever assembled? I mean, your estimation right now looking at this?
You know, what's so funny is I sent a buddy of mine. I'm fortunate enough to be friends with Maverick Carter, who everyone knows is LeBron's best friend. And I, you know, told him the great news about this. And I was all excited. I sent him the text message. Yeah, you know, it's on the greatest high school basketball team ever. Yeah, I'm sure he has something to say about that on the team he played on in Akron. But
right.
Us Baltimore people believe, in fact, that, yes, this is the greatest high
school. Well, I think when you look at the team as an entirety, I mean, yeah, there was four guys that went on to play in the NBA.
That's a lot for a high school basketball team.
But 11 of the guys all played Division I college basketball.
That's actually,
that's
to me, a bigger number than the four NBA guys.
Yeah, and to me, it's like the joke was is when the starting five would play the backups, the bench guys, it was like the number one team in the country playing against the number two team in the country.
Yeah.
And we all know is, you know, Reggie Lewis was the sixth man off the bench.
Right.
I mean, to think about that, he probably went on and had the best pro career, and to think that he was the sixth man.
I remember hearing
that basketball team.
In elementary school. I remember that story being told to me in elementary school. That's how much that story and the story of the Dunbar Poets resonated with people around here. It's incredible. We're talking with Bobby Sablehouse and Sheldon Candace, the producer and director of an upcoming ESPN 30 for 30 about Dunbar basketball. I want to ask you about the process for pitching ESPN and how this works. I am sure they get pitched, what, a couple times a week just to get into the door, just to have a conversation? Take us through that.
More times than that. You know, a situation where my producing partner, Eric Levy, had a relationship with Libby Geist, who's one of the executives at ESPN Films. And so, you know, we had always, you know, like I said earlier in our discussion, we had always kind of seen this being a 30 for 30. So, Eric and I said, let's go to the best. You know, they're the gold standard. So we went, you know, we called up Libby Geist, my buddy Eric Levy did, and he set up a pitch. And they're in New York, and we're in Los Angeles, so we did it over the phone. And they prefaced it, and I understand this. They prefaced and said, "Listen, you know, we're booked, pretty solid out for a couple of years, but you know, we look forward to hearing your pitch." And you know, we were a little discouraged at that point, thinking, "Okay, we're going to pitch this thing, and we're not going to get this thing on the air for a little while, but you know, let's go for it. We love the story, and let's tell it." And so we pitched it, and I bet I would say 20 minutes into the pitch, she stopped us and she said, "We love the story. This is something actually that we've been thinking about over here."
Really?
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe.
I know.
It's amazing.
But I mean, it was genuine. I mean, and if you know Libby, you know it's coming from a genuine place. She said this has been up on our board, and just no one had ever come in and kind of pitched us and had the attachments, like had brought Sheldon and had Coach Wade and Muggsy Bogues and had these players all on board to do it. And so the process, I'm not going to say, listen, pitching in Hollywood is very difficult. I'm not saying this was easy.
And you guys are both veterans of that, and you've been in Hollywood since you were 23.
You get rejected far more than you get it. We were just talking on the way over here. You get rejected far more than you get accepted in that business. And so it was a breath of fresh air to have her say, we really like this a lot. And across the board, we were told that everybody at ESPN Films said, this is a go for us.
All right, when we come back, I want to ask you about the guy who kind of sits atop, at least symbolically, of that perch for 30 for 30s, Bill Simmons, and has there been any contact with him? And then we do want to get into Bobby Sabolas' background a little bit, coming from McDonough, being a star quarterback here, going to Florida, playing for Steve Spurrier, and everything with that. But really cool story. Bobby Sabolas, Sheldon Candace, a couple of movie makers in studio, both from Baltimore, here on WBAL News Radio 1090.